Welcome to Legal Bits with attorney Julie Finch. Legal Bits offers you great guests you need to hear and great information and insights you need to know. I'm Bob Sansevier, and here is your host, Julie Finch.
Welcome. My guest today is Michelle Mazzara, owner of Love a Foodie. First, though, you get to get the legal bit of the day. And today, it's an update on the copyright battle over, yes, a monkey selfie. This has all the elements of a great story. Exotic location, intrigue, surprise villains, and an ending that is both satisfying and tragic. Photographer David Slater set his camera up in the Indonesian jungle. A monkey that was playing with the camera took a selfie. The photo ended up on Wikipedia and TechDirt. Mr. Slater sent the websites letters demanding that they stop using his photo without his permission. I think what he really wanted was to get paid, which is a reasonable thing for a photographer to want. The websites refused, however, claiming that the monkey owned the copyright. Mr. Slater then filed for a U.S. copyright registration in the photo. Under U.S. law, the copyright is something that generally belongs to the party that created it. Slater argued that because he set up the camera and encouraged the monkey to play with it, the work was his creation. The Copyright Office disagreed, saying that the works created by non-humans are not copyrightable. This was a huge loss to Mr. Slater. It meant that anyone could use the photo without paying for it. And we all thought the issue was dead. But enter PETA. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals decided to sue Mr. Slater, claiming both that the monkey owned the copyright and that he had harmed the monkey. As a side note, while the Copyright Office interpretation of the law has great weight, the reality is that we don't really know what the laws say or mean until a judge interprets them. So now we end up in court. The judge rules against PETA, stating that PETA didn't have standing to sue on behalf of the monkey and that animals are not authors under the copyright law. Standing means only that people with a real interest in a matter can sue. In this case, there were many problems with standings, not the least of which was proving that the monkey wanted PETA to represent it. Not satisfied, PETA appealed the decision, and the case has been pending forever. We have some good news, though. The case has settled. Slater has agreed to donate 25% of future revenue from the photo to organizations that protect the monkeys, and both sides have asked the court to nullify the record in the court. Sounds like PETA won. Slater is going to give money to the monkeys. But this is Legal Bits, and I've promised to give you the whole story. And here it is. Because the Copyright Office determined that the photo is in the public domain, Slater's revenue from the photo has been close to nothing. 25% of nothing is nothing. So very little money is going to exchange hands. PETA's actions have created both agency and court decisions that will be used in the next case regarding copyright ownership by non-humans. And there will be one. Think about software and machine creation of software. The sad thing is that Mr. Slater says he's broke and he's getting out of the photography business altogether because photographers can't make a buck these days. The big winner in the case seems to be the monkeys, who are on the verge of extinction but have benefited from the publicity, and the lawyers who have had the opportunity to debate the non-human ownership of copyright. With that, we're going to take a really quick break, and I will be back with my guest, Michelle Mazzara.
Looking to trademark your t-shirt design, slogan, or business, or maybe looking to copyright your book or photographs or how to make money off your photos, but you just don't know what to do? Get in touch with attorney Julie Finch. That is her special sauce. Contact Julie at finch-law.com. That's finch-law.com.
On with the show, this is it.
Welcome back. Let me introduce you to my guest, Michelle Mazzara. It's likely that a number of our listeners have actually seen Michelle or at least heard her voice. She's a frequent guest on TV, radio, and podcasts, as well as an award-winning recipe creator, a cookbook author, and founder of Love a Foodie. And as you'll hear from Michelle, she's got a lot of really exciting things going on. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Julie. Thank you so much for letting me be a guest on your show today.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. I want to dive right in. Okay. I admire anyone who starts a successful food company. It is such a hard space to get noticed in. What inspired you to do that?
Well, my passion for food and beverage, really, that's really was my inspiration. And I followed my dream. After working for corporate America for 25 years, I said, you know what? It's time to do what you really love. And that's create a website, a social website for foodies who share that passion for food and beverage. There wasn't anything else like that out there. And my mission was really to connect people who share that passion and bring them all together. And that's what Love of Foodie is really about. It's a brand that connects people together who share a passion for food and beverage.
Okay, so it's well beyond just product in the store or on the internet then, from what I hear.
Well, we just launched on Amazon.com. We have presence in the grocery stores, but really what loveafoodie.com now is, it's a social website for everyone, whether you're married, single, not looking for a relationship. It's really not a dating website anymore. It used to be.
You gotta fill us in.
I have to tell you the truth. Me being single and being a foodie, I thought to myself, geez, I can't meet anyone. If there was only a website out there that was for foodies, I know I'd meet someone.
Well, and I'm married to a foodie, right?
Yes.
We have our own language. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we always connect over food.
Absolutely. You know what, Julie? Food and beverage is a way that people share their passion and their love for each other, right? And it's a commonality that if you love somebody, you cook for them or you go out and you share that special meal together. And so I thought, what better way to find love? I'll create a website for singles who are foodies.
I love that idea.
And it didn't stay that for very long, probably about a year. And during the first 6 months, I also felt that there was an opportunity to take the brand and develop a product with it. So my first thing that I launched were caramels. Actually, I got into the candy business.
Yeah. Well, I confess, I've had some. They were really good.
They were really good, and got them into grocery stores. And then I thought to myself, I'm a very, very creative person, and I love to create things. And I thought, okay, I'll just keep creating. How about let's get into toffee? And then from toffee, it got into spices. And a year and a half ago, I created some gourmet spice blends.
Okay, so I understand the connection between mm-hmm. the love and the love of foodie and the sweet treats, because I know you have chocolate too.
I have Belgian chocolate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I understand that, right? Mm-hmm. You all get chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you end up? Spices seem like a real left turn. How did that happen?
Well, Julie, you've never been to my house.
This is true.
You've never seen the counters. The granite is filled with spices, and I love to cook. I mean, as you said, I've won several recipe contests over the last 3-4 years. I'm most proud of winning the 8th annual Cavette Pizza contest for my eggplant and fresh mozzarella. I actually got to go to Trentino, Italy, a trip for two.
Really?
Yes.
So first thing I want to say is, will you come to my house and cook?
Well, I you know, it's funny. I used to cook a lot when I was creating all these recipes, and I also weighed 25 pounds heavier than I do now. So Love of Foodie has really taken a lot of my time, so I don't get to cook as much as I used to.
All right. Well, I'll take that as a polite, are you kidding, Julie? You've got a husband who cooks.
Yes, but I would like to come over sometime and maybe do a potluck deal.
There you go. So back to the food products, though.
Yes.
How is it really that you went from chocolate to spices? Because I know that that's the beginning of a piece of this story that you never expected to be on.
Well, you know, I knew early on that I wanted, because the candy was so successful, I knew that I wanted to get into certain categories, and spices was one of them. And so I worked with a co-packer, and we, developed different spices, and what I'm really most happy about right now.
So what's a co-packer?
Okay, a co-packer is, there's several kinds. There's ones that make frozen food. This is a spice co-packer, so just think of a menu of all the different spices out there, from, you know, basil to cumin to salt to whatever. And you basically pull the ingredients together and create different blends. And
so you created or they created? Because I know there's people out there listening who really like the idea of mm-hmm. being in the food business, mm-hmm. but have no idea how you produce a product.
Mm-hmm. Well, specifically, let's talk about the new line that I just launched now, the Lover's Collection, which I'm most proud of. I actually made some changes with the spices that I originally launched. So some of them are now discontinued. And this new collection is really the very, very best of my recipes. Garlic Lovers is our number one seller. And based on that, I thought, you know what, let's make it easy for the customer and let's come up with a whole Lovers collection. So there's a barbecue Lovers, there's a Jamaican Lovers, there's a citrus Lovers, which I'll tell you a little bit about the salt-free line too, because that's really dear and mm-hmm. special to me. There is a meat Lovers, there's a seafood Lovers. So they just hit the stores this past week, and I gave you samples today, and I'm really, really excited. So the process was, for example, let's take the citrus Lovers. I wanted a salt-free blend that had lemon in it and orange and lime and garlic, some very, very healthy ingredients that are very good in helping with a heart healthy diet. So I basically had the co-packer blend them together, different quantities, send me samples, tasted them. If I didn't think it was the right amount, they redid them and sent them back. And we agreed this is the best final recipe. And then they go to production.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then I work with my marketing team to develop the logo and the design for the packaging. Then that goes to print. And then the labels are sent to the co-packer. And then the recipes, every time I get an order, are processed, they're blended fresh. And what's unique about Love of Foodie spices is we don't use any anti-caking agents and no chemicals. So if you go to the spice department, or actually we have ours in the meat department, most of the spices that you're going to find have anti-caking agents and sure. chemicals, which are bad for you.
Sure, because stuff has to stay on the shelf a long time.
Well, the difference with ours, if they cake, you just take a knife or a spoon and you mix it up. And it's better than having a bunch of chemicals in there.
Okay, so that sounds like a great short course for anybody who is trying to figure out how you go from idea to product on the shelf, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you started Googling things like co-packers, I am pretty sure you're going to come up with people and the process and more things to read about that.
Correct. There are many, co-packers out there. And I guess the secret is to finding the one that works best with you. And I wanted one that didn't have anti-caking agents. All of our stuff is all natural. That's very important to me.
So very cool. Now, I know you've got something really exciting coming up, but the process is a little bit like launching a company. You actually have to go follow some pretty significant rules. So what's the next big thing coming up in, what is it, February?
Like February 4th.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm very, for the last 12 months, most people don't know this, but I have been working on chocolates, Belgian chocolates, coming up with specific designs, specific creative, like the Love of Foodie State of Minnesota.
And where are they going to be?
Well, as you know, we are having the Super Bowl 52 here in Minneapolis, and I have been going to vendor meetings and working with the Business Connect, which is part of the NFL group here. And there was a vetting process, a very long vetting process. You needed to be approved as a DBE, which is a diversified business enterprise. You needed to be in business 3 years. You needed to be a minority, which, being 100% woman-owned, Love of Foodie is considered a minority company, or I fit into that bucket. And so the exciting news is I was invited the end of March to do a pitch to the Business Connect, the NFL, and came in there with my ideas. And in June, they announced out of almost 1,000 companies, they selected 400 companies that were approved to be in the resource guidebook for the NFL.
So what's that?
Okay, so this means that the contract companies that work with the NFLs can go to this resource guidebook, or actually they have to go to the resource guidebook, and they look and they say, okay, what companies are approved? So out of the 400 companies, 80 are food related.
Okay, so how did you know? I mean, even know mm-hmm. that people had things like approved companies for events like the Super Bowl. How do you even start finding out about a process like that?
You know, Julie, I'm probably one of the most resourceful people you'll ever meet in your life. If I wasn't into food and beverage, I would have been a detective because I can find out anything.
Well, you make it sound so easy, but I know there are people out there listening that are like, really? She did what?
Right, right. No, I anyone who knows me well knows that I'm extremely tenacious and I will figure out a way if it kills me. And literally that's what I did. And so I found out where the office was. I started one of the first things was to go into the portal and get your company set up and then go to the vendor meetings, which literally took place for about almost a year. And then at the vendor meetings, they would say, this is what you need to do. This is what you have to do. This is the timeline. If you're serious about being approved, you have to, you know, follow these instructions.
So this wasn't just randomly deciding, gee, I'd like to be a Super Bowl vendor.
No.
This was an arduous process.
Almost a year, Julie. And it started with me developing certain Belgian chocolates and sending the Super Bowl office in Minneapolis a huge box of all the things at Love a Foodie that I thought would be appropriate. And this was a year ago. This was way before being vetted, way before being approved. But I started working on this.
Okay, so that's a marketing mind. You're
cheese curds. Let me tell you.
Cheese curds. Tell me about cheese curds. So, I learned in Texas cheese curds are a delicacy that you can only buy at Whole Foods. So tell me about cheese curds.
Okay, so as you know, my mind never sleeps, and I start like thinking, okay, I really want to be a vendor for the Super Bowl. So when I met, I was very fortunate to partner with Metz Creamery, which is in Rushford, Minnesota. And when you think football, what do you think? You think cheese curds, especially
Definitely.
In the Midwest. Now, funny thing is, I talked to some people in New York a couple weeks ago from the NFL, and I said, you know, when you come here, you're going to hopefully, you know, go to the stores or, you know, maybe Love a Foodie will have cheese curds. I'm not sure, but maybe at some events, and maybe you'll get to try cheese curds. And this guy in New York said to me, well, in New York, the only thing we do with cheese is put it on pizza. We've never had cheese curds. So it is a Midwest delicacy, so to speak.
So seriously, I was in Texas and our Uber driver was originally from the Twin Cities. And he said that one of the things he missed the most was cheese curds. And he was so excited because now you could buy them at Whole Foods for like four times the price of what you'd buy them for in the Twin Cities.
Well, our cheese curds are at all the Hy-Vee stores, and I have to say that we just came out with two really big game day flavors, taco and Bloody Mary.
Whoa.
And I'm not kidding you. If you want to make a Bloody Mary and you know how you garnish it and you put little things try the Bloody Mary or the taco. The taco's going really big, too.
I think I'm trying them both.
Try them both. And and I have to say on November 29th, I'll be on the mid-morning WCCO show debuting some new cheeses.
Woo-hoo.
That's a little teaser.
That is. I love it.
Yeah.
So I love the way you're always thinking ahead, though.
Yes.
And thinking about where the fit is for your product.
Yes.
So I do want to touch on something that wasn't so fun, though, mm-hmm. but there is sometimes a silver lining in things, mm-hmm. and it has given you, I know, some great insights. Tell me what happened that caused the new spices.
The salt-free line?
Yeah,
specifically?
The salt-free line specifically.
Yes. Well, Julie, a year ago, since September 19th, I had a stent put in my LAD, which is your left anterior descending artery, due to 80% blockage.
Whoa.
And in recovery, I had a heart attack. The good news is that I'm here, and I'm hopefully going to live a very long, healthy life. But I was misdiagnosed, which for 10 months, I was told I had costochondritis.
I've heard women get misdiagnosed a lot.
Unfortunately, women are misdiagnosed too often, and every 60 seconds, a woman dies of heart disease or stroke. It is the number one killer for not just men, but women. And most people don't know that. They think, oh, it's breast cancer or ovarian cancer. No, it's heart disease. So what I did is I thought, you know what, I'm gonna get involved with the American Heart Association. I'm going to do what I can to share my story. I'm going to make a difference. And as much as I love salt, I'm going to come out with a salt-free spice line, which I launched last January, so it's not even a year. And I'm going to, when I'm in the stores doing demos, I'm going to share my story and I'm going to make a difference. And I was very excited to be announced to be a brand ambassador for American Heart Association. We actually have a meeting tomorrow night, but I will be doing the Go Red events. I will be talking in 2018 on TV and media, sharing my story and helping to build awareness in fighting this disease and helping the symptoms that women have are not the same as men. And that's why it's often misdiagnosed. I didn't look sick, but that's, you know, I had the symptoms. I had heart disease in my family. My cholesterol was 330.
Wow.
I had shortness of breath. I had terrible chest pains. There's no reason that I shouldn't have, that my doctor shouldn't have ordered an angiogram immediately.
I'm kind of sitting here making a funny face going like, yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you.
Yes.
Why do you think he missed it?
Because I didn't look sick. I mean, my cholesterol is 330. My father's family all has heart disease in it.
I can see that. I mean, I'm looking at you and I saw you at the point in time when you weren't feeling all that well. But you're just kind of this beautiful, perky woman and you're not overweight in any way.
No.
It's not any of the things you expect to see. You were working crazy, I know,
right,
at the grocery stores with product sampling.
Still am.
Still. Okay. Tell people what that means to do a product sampling.
Well, the funny thing you say about that is that I live in the stores, and whether it be the candy.
That's
or
why
the
people
spices.
Know you, by the way. If you're buying cheese curds at Hy-Vee, Michelle is handing them to you.
Right. Right. I mean, I'll be in the stores the next Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. That's what I do. That's how people are getting to build or trying the brand and building awareness. But, I'm sorry, I forgot what you just asked me, Julie.
Yeah, I did too.
I got so caught up in talking about heart disease.
Well,
we were
talking about heart disease, and I took you on a little sideways swing because that whole working in the stores, testing products.
I
will tell you, I have very fond memories from my daughter growing up. We'd go horseback riding, and then we'd go shopping through the grocery store, and we would be literally eating lunch from all the people who were letting us sample their stuff
right
in the grocery store as we were getting the stuff to go home and make for dinner. So, but I never really thought about what a long day that
it's
can be.
Extremely long. And I remember last Christmas, I was in the stores doing chocolate demos, and I was literally, you know, Thursday through Sunday and, you know, the holiday weeks, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the whole week. And I remember coming home and I sit on my chair or on my couch and I'm like, I have such bad chest pains. I have a new disease. And I remember posting this on Facebook, not knowing at the time that I had heart disease, but I said, I have demoitis. When I come home from a demo, I feel really worse. Because it's very strenuous. It's very hard. You're standing on cement floors. You're talking with the public. It's very hard work, but it is paying off. And it is the way that I am connecting with people. And like I said before, Love of Foodie is a brand that connects all people together. And I share my story now when I'm doing the salt-free spices the stores. And it's connecting. It's all about making those relationships.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me one thing, if there's one message you want to get out to the listeners about women and heart disease, actually about heart disease generally, what would it be?
You know, I'll tell you what that message is. Trust yourself. Nobody believed me. My family said it's just because you're under stress, Michelle. You're you know, worried about Love of Foodie or you work all the time. And my mother, and God bless her, because I'm not throwing her under the bus, but she said to me, well, Michelle, it's not your heart, because if it was your heart, you'd be dead by now.
Oh.
So living alone and not sharing this with friends, only, you know, some family members, I started to think, okay, it's not heart disease. I think I have lung cancer. That's what I thought. Okay, now I have lung cancer. It's something. And then by literally 10 months later, I said, something is seriously wrong. And I went back to my doctor, who is, by the way, no longer my doctor. And here's a fun fact. And most people live longer from heart disease if they see a female doctor.
Really?
Because female doctors listen. And that's American Heart Association has published something like that, that now I have a female doctor.
Interesting.
So just my I guess to answer your question is listen to yourself. And I knew something was wrong. I couldn't sleep at night. And don't, you know, believe everything that people tell you. You know yourself when you're sick.
That's really good advice. And that was a tip that I didn't know we would be getting. So let's get to know you just a little bit better.
Okay.
And I know the best way to get to know you is to talk about food for just 2 minutes.
Okay.
What? It's a celebration dinner. What do you make? Or do you go out?
Oh, you know what? I love having people over and I love to cook. It's my way of showing whether it's a friendship or if I'm in a relationship that I love you. And one of my favorite things to cook is pasta or risotto. I love making anything.
Okay, now I'm coming to your house for dinner.
I just
invited myself.
Okay, you bring the wine. I love wine.
That I can do.
Seafood risotto is probably my favorite thing to make and also probably to eat. Anything with seafood. I love seafood. I love to go to Italy. I love to eat the fresh seafood that you can find there. I love to go to France. I love the bread and wine and cheese. So, and I love to eat out. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to eat out. I just don't have time to eat out right
sure.
now.
Sure. So being from Minnesota and the fact that today really does feel like fall, what's your favorite season?
Oh, summer. Summer and spring. I love spring.
Yeah.
It's a new beginnings.
It is.
And that's I always think it's a rebirth. It's a chance to start over.
I like this kind of hunkering down thing, though, too. Now I get to go inside and think about eating pasta.
Well, today I had butternut squash soup, which
See?
I totally
you
think,
go.
You know, wintertime. Yeah.
So before we wrap up, which we're going to do here in just a minute, tell us exactly where we find you. www.loveafoodie.
Loveafoodie.com, right? You'll find all the recipes that I create. I'm in the process of creating all new recipes with the Lovers Collection.
Okay, and that's spelled funky.
LuvaFoodie.com, Amazon.com, select Kowalski stores, and all the Twin City Hy-Vee stores.
All right. Well,
and hopefully we're growing. I mean, my goal, Julie, and I'll be really honest, is I want to make Love a Foodie a national food brand. It is a consumable brand. As I told you, it's not what it started with, but the last 2.5 years, it is becoming a consumable brand. And I also have to say is I'm not done yet. There's another category I'm going to be getting into.
Of course there is.
I'm never done. Never, never,
I love
ever
it.
Done.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Julie.
And thanks to our listeners.
Thank you.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Do you feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
I'm Julie Finch, and looking forward to spending some time with you again next week for the next episode of Legal Bits. I just gotta tell you.